The following is a class on Sri Kevalashtakam given by His Holiness Srila Rompa Swami, His Holiness Srila Chandramouli Swami and His Grace Bada Haridas Prabhu, recorded on 6th July 2008 in Chicago, United States.
Many of us have spent the 4th of July holiday, including July 3rd evening at the Taste of Chicago, chanting the Holy Name for a few hundred thousand people's spiritual enlightenment as well as our own. That was a very nice experience. And then, with a meditative mood, we've been attempting to enter deeply and more deeply and more deeply into the holy name of Krishna. And this song that we just sang is our theme song. It presents various parts of the meditation that we've been undergoing, and we thought it'd be nice to share this with all of you. So you're coming in at the end of a rush of holy name enthusiasm. So what we thought we would do is, it's an ashtakam, so there's 8 verses, and the 3 of us, Chandramouli Swami, then Bada Hari Prabhu, then myself, are going to speak on 3 of the verses. We just selected a verse that we wanted to speak about. So Chandramouli Swami picked the first one chronologically, number 4, right? So I'll gesture towards Chandramouli Swami, and please give your rapt attention to hear his words describing this verse of Kevalashtakam.
Before I get into the topic that is presented, I just want to read one verse which to me is really sums up everything in terms of the position of the Holy Name. When we search throughout the scriptures, we find unlimited verses glorifying Krishna and holding his holy name. But this verse I like. It's Namaguru Kamikala Yana Aradam Salamanti Saranami Aisastramanam. This is from Jiva Vacharya Amita. It says, in the sense of Kali Yuga, there is no religious principle other than the chanting of the Holy Name, which is the essence of all other kings. This is the purport of all scriptures. It's rightly the essence of Krishna in the form of his holy name is really the only religious principle in this age. We're all making plans, right? We make plans for our education. We make plans for our families, welfare, maintenance. We make plans for everything we do, right? Sometimes we even hire somebody as a plan maker to help us. These programs where you can get somebody to help and make plans for your life. But do we plan for our next life? We actually think of the mentor. We usually figure out in old ages, you know, that's as far as I can plan for. And then we get life insurance and all kinds of other insurances to ensure that our plans will work. But actually, why don't we plan for the next life? Why don't we forget that plan and our plans? I don't think we can consider that. It's like if you go and make some plans, what about my God? What's going to happen? Where am I going to go? What is the next life about? Will I be a human being again? Will I take birth as an animal? And we can actually make plans in the next life. And then I was preparing now. But I can prepare for the future, plan for the future, and share the future, and make all kinds of plans. But unless we plan for the next life, you know, what is the value of this life? Because where we go is important. Sometimes people say, it doesn't matter where I go. When you go there, it don't matter. You may not think of it now. Just like you're driving along the road and you're going to a certain destination and you make a long turn and you continue on the wrong road for a while and you think, oh boy, I wasted so much time. If I would have went the map better, if I would have got a better navigator, guide, I wouldn't have to waste so much time going in the wrong direction. So in the same way, we want to make the ultimate of all plans. What is going to happen after this life? And Srila Prabhupada would speak very strongly on this point, that you don't know where you're going to go. But you can plan for it now. This verse. This is a very strong verse. There's no certainty when the last breath will come and put an end or abrupt halt to all one's material plans. Therefore, it is wise to always practice chanting from very childhood. If you want to grow a tree or a plant or anything, you plant a seed. In order for the plant to grow nicely, you have to water it, you have to cultivate it, cultivate the ground, you put out the weeds, you make sure it's protected from foreign elements, give it some sort of sunlight. In other words, that planting a seed is not just enough. You have to continue to cultivate it in order to get it to grow into the plant that you desire. So in the same way, we have to plant the seed in our life of remembrance of God. And the Guru says from the very childhood. Sometimes we think, well, childhood means what? It means play. It means, you know, learning. And we're learning so many things. And we're doing so many things. And we're experiencing so many things. But if you plant the seed that is important in a child's life, that is their relationship with God at the very early stages of life, then there's a good chance that that will grow into a beautiful plant or an expression of one's devotion to God. They say, there's a saying in Bengal, that if you have bamboo, when it's supple, when it's young, when it's new, you can bend it. But as time goes on, the bamboo gets stiff and stiffer. And then if you try to bend it, it will break. And what they're saying is that plant the seed of devotion early and it will grow nicely. If you try to do it in the later years, it may be possible, but it is very difficult. Because so many other things have developed in the meantime, that is usually different than our spiritual practice. So from the very beginning of life, those who were in the position of mothers, fathers, teachers, or guardians, see that the welfare of my children is not only to give them education, to make them their health, to make sure they grow up nicely, successfully in this world, but to plant the seed of bhakti. Because that is the real wealth, the treasure of bhakti. And therefore, the essence of this planting of the seed is really to bring them in contact with Krishna's holy name. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come in this age to help us understand the importance of the value of Krishna's name. We read the scriptures and we hear from the saints, but the Lord wanted to come personally to emphasize how exclusive this process of chanting of the holy name is amongst everything else. He emphasized that. And when God comes personally to show the process of how to realize himself by his own example, we can understand that is the highest teaching. Srila Prabhupada would say, when the teacher becomes the student, in order to teach the student how to do the lessons for the teacher, that is the best teaching. And that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what did he do? Throughout his whole life, he emphasized glorification of the holy name, Harinam Sankirtan. Chanting Japa, chanting Kirtan. And this, what is it? We can speak about the glories of the holy name, the benefits of the holy name, and it's unlimited. No one can understand Krishna's name. Because if you can understand Krishna's name, you can understand Krishna. There's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's name. But it is the way to remember Krishna in this age. And this is the highest religious principle, to remember God. There's no higher principle than that, to remember God. Always remember God. That's what it says throughout. Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita. And in the Bhagavad Gita, he emphasizes this point in two places. He says, always remember me. He said, this is the essence of all religious principles, to surrender to me, to remember me. And in this age, this is the way to remember Krishna. We might think, well, yes, I'll remember Krishna, but I have so many other things to remember. That's nice. But we have to understand what is priority in life. If we forget Krishna at the time of death, or if we haven't prepared our consciousness when death comes along, it will be very difficult to remember Krishna. Sometimes we think, oh yes, when I get old, then I'll get serious. But then we understand, old means what? Just before you die. And no one else will remember to die. Does anybody know when they're going to die? Have you looked into the future and the horoscope has told you? Nobody knows. I'll tell you a story. Do you want to hear a story? Nothing like this story. I'll tell it anyway. It's a really serious story. Listen to this. Listen. To show the nature of this material world, we should not take anything for granted. The ladies were preaching in India, in a Chaitanya temple in Bombay, and they were preaching in colleges. And every week they would go to one college and hold a program. These students were coming. It was a medical college. And many of the students started to become attracted and started coming to the temple. And they became regularly coming to the temple, and then they started to chant. And then one of the students, after some time, he said, you know, he told his friends, I'm not coming anymore till I graduate. It was 4 months to graduation. I'm going to study and get the best grades. I'm not going to chant. I'm not going to come to the programs, so don't call me. But when I graduate, I'll be back. But he said, okay. So he studied, and guess what? He became number one in his class. He graduated in the highest in the school, in medical college. So his friend said, oh, okay, now you're going to come back? He said, well, you know, there's a party tonight, and I want to go to the party. And after the party, I'll come. His friend said, well, the devotees are coming to the college tonight, and they're going to have the program. So why don't you come there? He said, well, I'll just go to the party. part and go. So he went to the party, and he was dancing, and in the middle of his dancing, he had a heart attack. He dropped dead, right in front of everybody. 23 years old, no medical history, and he was his top medical student. Sad story. I'm not saying this in order to make you sad. This is reality. This is reality. This material world is very uncertain. And if we understand that principle, then we can become serious to remember Krishna. By becoming aware of the nature of this world and how it can operate in any way against our plans, then we become more, what do you say, attached to doing what is right, and that is remembering Krishna in the form of his holy name. So this verse is spoken by obviously a great saint. He wanted to remain anonymous. Sometimes great saints, they speak and they put out such beautiful understandings of philosophical teachings that they do not make up that many grades for themselves. So this is a prayer by a great saint. He wanted to remain anonymous. But he experienced that at any moment your prayers could be finished. And I can tell you 10 stories like this, but I won't, because we don't have time. But this is the nature of the material world. If you remember Krishna, when death comes along, then Krishna says, yam vatisthalam vāvam tattvai kalevaram tamatam vaitrikantaya siddhāpadāva bhāvitaḥ. Krishna says, if you remember me at the time of death, then you go to me. But we should understand the process that there's no cheating. You can't remember so many other things and then try to remember Krishna at the time of death. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Because Krishna knows your intentions. And if you're sincerely trying to remember Krishna in your life, then Krishna will appear in your mind at the time of death. But if you're thinking, I'm going to remember Krishna at the time of death, and I will remember him now because I'm too busy, and Krishna may not appear. He's like that. There's no cheating. He can't cheat. So we have to prepare life as a preparation for the next life. And if we can prepare ourselves by always remembering Krishna, by chanting his holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. One who remembers God is fearless. There's no fear. Why? Because there is no greater protection than the Supreme Personality of God. So, remember Krishna. That is the highest religious principle. And the easiest way to remember Krishna is to chant his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
So armed with this knowledge of the temporary nature, Kadavu Lovavishati, how things can come to a grinding halt at any moment. Then comes the next verse, Hari Sada Vishe Tatra Yatra Bhagavata Jana Gaya Hibati Bharana Harinama Vikivalam. So this is a mystical fact. We were having kirtan, chanting Hare Krishna at the Oswego Center and for many hours, and one of the neighbors came by and commented, well, I think I've learned the song now. So they may wonder why we're spending so many hours singing the same song. There's a reason. Because we're associating with Krishna. Krishna says, I don't live in Vaikuntha. Amazing statement. Krishna says, I don't live in Vaikuntha, and I don't live in the hearts of the yogis. I live where my devotees glorify me. That's where I can be found. So here also it's said that Gayanti Bhakti Bhavena, where this Bhagavata Jana, in other words, Jana are people, but they're a different kind of people. They're Bhagavata. They're persons who are in relationship to Bhagavan or Krishna. So persons who are in relation, have a relationship with Krishna, and where these people are singing with devotion, then Krishna is personally present there. And this is the whole mystery of this association. This is why we gather together. We may discuss many different topics, just like Maharaj is discussing a very disturbing topic. But it's all in relationship to Krishna, and therefore Krishna's present. So we gather together to be with each other, but to also be with Krishna. This is the great mystery. And how Krishna operates in that association is also very mystical. What the kind of experience that each person has while in that assembly is very individual and personal. Sometimes Krishna reciprocates, as we heard, by not reciprocating. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that because then the devotee thinks, oh, I want to be with Krishna, but he's withholding his association. So I have to purify my heart so that he'll want to be with me. So Krishna works sometimes that way with devotees. But always he's mercifully present in this chanting process and in this association. So there are a couple of things I wanted to mention. First of all, important principle here is bhakti bhavena. That if we're in association with devotees and we're chanting, but there's another purpose behind our chanting, if we have other thoughts, if we're distracted, then we won't feel Krishna's presence. First of all, we have to be there. The chanting, sometimes it's described as you're bringing Krishna's mandipam from his name, so you're inviting Krishna to your home. So, but sometimes we invite Krishna to our home and we're not there. We're somewhere else. We're not thinking, oh Krishna, you're here. Let me serve you. Let me be with you. That's bhakti bhavena. At least we may think, well, I don't have any bhakti bhava. That's a good way to think. Even advanced devotees don't feel that they have any bhakti. Actually, they feel that way. But the beginning of bhakti is to give our attention to Krishna. When the guest comes, if we're attentive, then it's a sign of our devotees. It's a sign that we care about them. So that's the beginning stage, which we focused on a lot this week, is to be receptive. Krishna's here in the form of his holy name. How can I put out other things and be attentive, be ready to receive him, be ready to accept him? So this is an important principle. We're present, and then we can begin to experience Krishna. We can experience him in a variety of ways. Sometimes we experience him purifying our heart. It's not always pleasant, actually, because famous Bhaktisiddhanta says, Swati Thakur, it said that Krishna's accepted the job of the sweeper. Although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's accepted the job of cleaning our hearts. So sometimes we invite Krishna to come, he works on us, and that's not always pleasant, but it's very, very wonderful, because as we feel ourselves cleansed, then we can experience Krishna's pleasure, presence even more. So it begins with being attentive, being receptive to the holy name, with understanding that the name is not different from Krishna. Another beautiful thing that this verse points out is that we are not alone chanting. It's not just I'm here chanting and there's Krishna and there's nobody else. But we're with devotees. The whole principle of Sankirtan is congregational chanting. Practically speaking, our whole devotional progress revolves around the quality of our chanting and the quality of our associating with devotees, right? And with people in general. With how we treat everyone. And they both help one another. If we associate with devotees, if we appreciate, here's a devotee of Krishna, or even if we're dealing with people who are not devotees, if we appreciate this person is a spirit soul, right? Let me help this person towards Krishna, then by that thinking, Krishna becomes pleased with us, and then our chanting is more effective. And by trying to be attentive to Krishna when we're chanting, then when we see another person, we think, oh, this person is Krishna's devotee. Krishna's in his heart. If we're offensive towards other people, then how good can our chanting be? How is it possible? So these two things of associating nicely with other living entities, seeing everyone as a servant of Krishna, developing our love and compassion for all of Krishna's parts and parcels, and our attentively calling out to Krishna and being attentive to Krishna and attentive to Krishna. These two things go together and they form it's a complete spiritual process. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, this chanting takes one from the beginning to the ultimate stage, to Goloka Vrindavan. It actually reveals our spiritual form. The holy name reveals Krishna, reveals our spiritual form. Everything is complete. So, Gayanti Bhakti Bhavina, Vainama, and Kevalam. Therefore it said, it's Kevalam. It takes care of everything. So,
inspiring verses. You can take anyone. They're like little sutras, and you just, like sandalwood, you rub sandalwood and rub sandalwood and rub sandalwood, and the fragrance of the sandalwood comes out. So these verses are like that. There are four parts of this concluding verse. So we heard about the fragile position of the material world, and with a sense of urgency we should take shelter of the Holy Name. And the shelter of the Holy Name, Badahari was describing this bhakti bhavena, Krishna, in the form of his Holy Name, reveals himself in the assembly of such persons, and in the assembly of such persons, one's own heart becomes similarly filled with devotion. Then there's always the but. But we have this very, very strong attraction, attachment, addiction for material enjoyment. However, this song is helping us understand that whatever that something is, whatever attraction we may have, if we can actually contact the Holy Name nicely, properly, it makes that entire universe, but to speak of some part of it that we may be attracted to, attached to, addicted to, insignificant, like a blade of grass. Chin. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses this word, chin, to describe how a devotee should feel themselves more humble than a blade of grass. Trinadapi sumichinna. So the blade of grass is just this insignificant something on the ground, and people just walk over it and pay no attention to it, and like that, insignificant. And the mood of chanting should be feeling oneself more significant than the blade of grass or the straw in the street. Or Raghunath Das Goswami, in his appreciation of Rupa Goswami, he also uses this word, trin. He says that adhanas trinai dhantai idam yache puna pana srimad rupa padam bojo rajoham syam bhave bhave. He offers this prayer like holding a blade of grass within his teeth, coming before the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami. He begs to become just a particle of dust at the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami. This mood of humility is a very strong part of having the quality, just as Badahari was describing, having the quality to enter into or experience the Holy Name. Now, once again, but the potency of the Holy Name is like that, but we have this attraction for material enjoyment. But if we can experience even one drop of the ocean of the Holy Name, the happiness of the Holy Name, the Chid Anandamayam Shuddham, the transcendental spiritual effect of the Holy Name, the attraction that one has for this material world shrinks and shrinks and shrinks and shrinks. The Srimad Bhagavatam says that, literally speaking, not just figuratively speaking, but the material mind is dissolved by the process of devotional service. It's the mind that's attracted to these worldly things. It has nothing to do with the soul, but through the desires within the mind. So it dwarfs Jagat Sarvam. The entire universe seems insignificant. Kritya, Trini Kritya Jagat Sarvam. Why? Rajate Sakalopadi. It reigns splendorously, supreme over all. So Krishna reigns over all, and Krishna is none different than his holy name. This is a very important appreciation when chanting. The name of Krishna and Krishna are not different. We're directly, just as we were hearing, we're directly associating with the most difficult person of all to come to know. Like Prabhupada would describe, if you want to see a big man, some, whoever that big man may be, some big man, a politician or a wealthy man, industrialist, or somebody who in the world is thought of as a big man. To see that big man, what's your qualification? And you have to have some qualification and find the secretary of the big man and make an appointment to see the big man. Then maybe. So what to speak of the personality of Godhead? What's our qualification? No qualification. Zippo. But he's so kind, he makes himself so accessible through his holy name, and it's he, in the form of his holy name, who splendorously reigns supreme over all and in contact with the holy name, Trini Kritya Jagat Sarvam. All the worldly pursuits and attractions and things that boggle the mind become insignificant. Then, Chidananda Mayam. The holy name, during this weekend we heard one person express a little speculation about the holy name. There's Krishna the person, and then there's the holy name who's something other than Krishna the person, like Krishna the imperson or something like that. But the holy name isn't something like that. The holy name is Krishna. Prabhupada's example. If we say the name of an object, water, 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 it doesn't quench our thirst because the sound, water, and the object, water, they're different. Or we want to sit down, we say chair, chair, chair. We can't sit on the word. But you can sit on the object. So the name and the object, they're different. But in the spiritual realm, the name and the object named, Bhinatvama Nama Namino, the name and the object named are abhinna. They're none different. And so the name of Krishna is Chidananda Mayam. The name of Krishna is full of eternally conscious divine ecstasy. So just as Badahari was using the example of inviting someone to your home, imagine you can invite someone to your home who is the fullness of conscious divine ecstasy. Can you please come to my home? And he says, I'm here. Are we not going to be attentive? If we can understand these features of the holy name, really they're excited to receive this personality who's full of eternally conscious divine ecstasy, and Shuddham is supremely pure. Again, borrowing from what, or carrying over from what Badahari said of
We have to be qualified. The purity has to be there to receive the holy name. But the holy name is so merciful, just by contacting the holy name, we're made pure to receive the holy name. Even we're not pure. But that process of purification can be sometimes painful. Why is it painful? It's because we're attached to the impurity. Something that I learned just when I was in the first week that I was a devotee, living in a Hare Krishna temple, first 2 weeks, I learned something. I learned that the process of devotional service is purifying. And the nature of the purification is that there's some impurity in the heart of someone who's engaged in devotional service. Krishna will arrange for that purity, that impurity to be removed. And if they're attached to the impurity, they're removed with the impurity. Because the devotional service is purifying. It's supremely pure. So when that thing that we're attached to is Krishna is taking it from our heart, we're attached to that certain impurities, and we don't want those impurities to go. But Krishna will very kindly, because he's supremely pure, bring that purity to our hearts, provided we continue chanting with sincerity to approach the holy name in this mood. So the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. Krishna is our shelter, he's our father, he's our purifier, he's our happiness, he's that which is significant for us, thus dwarfing all other so-called significances that our lives may have been made up of before approaching this holy name. So we invite you to join us. We'll again chant a little bit, as we've been doing all week long, and please try to enter into the mood of the chanting. I'll ask Brother Hari to invite us to take up the mood nicely.
Hare Krishna, or the song, as you wish. Just chant Hare Krishna. Okay.
So, as in the neighbors in us, we don't learn the word very quickly. So also, you all know the verse already. So it's not the words, it's the mood of chanting. We had the moment you share what your experience was from the weekend, and the one person shared this, and that Brother Hari would explain, when you chant the holy name of Krishna, better watch out, because the holy name is very strong, and where your heart or your mind go to, Krishna will make that strong. So if we pray or wish or cry out to the holy name for Krishna's association and his purity to shine within our hearts, then that's very nice. That's a very nice experience.